Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today as we continue. Mark Wogenrich today. Brendan Quinn today. A lot going on. I will freely admit Mr. Hamm and I were just deeply engrossed in football conversation. So I'm transitioning from that to you. I know you would like to know what Mr. Hamm and myself talked about, but for the moment we'll leave that to ourselves. They will scrimmage tonight. And the scrimmage is tonight. It's not going to be this afternoon. It's actually going to be tonight. Because James wants the scrimmage to take place at about the time of when the Purdue game's going to be. They're going to start before 8 o'clock. But, so that's coming up tonight. The scrimmage part. The NBA is going to retire, by the way, Bill Russell's number 6. So like Jackie Robinson had, in honor of Jackie Robinson, Major League Baseball retired 42 for every team. Bill Russell's number 6 will be retired by everybody. And that was just announced moments ago. The camp to this point, as James indicated last night, look, they've been able to get a lot of work done. That really helps. And and they have they've gone about this with a quiet confidence. Now, at some point, you're going to have to do it in a game, and that's where the payoff will be, and Mark and I will talk about that. But once he gets his chance to be on the show at 4:06, and we'll talk with Brendan Quinn in the next half hour. And so we'll do that. But that's... because we're coming up on the college football opener for everybody, not for Penn State, but for everybody. I mean, just to get the first game going, is going to be 2 weeks from tomorrow. I mean, 2 weeks from tomorrow is the opening, quote, college football game. And that, you know, that gets you out of the gate. Then you're at week zero. It's what they call it. And that will include several games, including the game in Ireland between, I think it's Northwestern and Nebraska. Illinois, I think, opens, quote, week zero as well. And Just see for a second. I've got the list of games here. They don't have the Friday game on here. There was a Friday game. But the week, okay, so 2 weeks from Saturday, Nebraska and Northwestern will play in Dublin. Illinois will be at home with Wyoming. And you got Nevada and New Mexico State, Austin Peay, Western Kentucky, Idaho State, UNLV, UConn, Utah State, Duquesne, Florida State, Charlotte, Florida Atlantic, and Florida A&M and North Carolina. And you'll also have Vanderbilt at Hawaii and North Texas at UTEP. So that's the opening weekend. You have that many games in the opening weekend. Those are all Saturday games. I think there's one game on Friday, but it's not listed here. So that is 2 weeks from Saturday. That's how close this is getting. And 3 weeks from today, Penn State opens at Purdue. And a tough break for Wake Forest as quarterback Sam Hartman is going to be out indefinitely with a non-football-related medical condition. That stinks. I mean, this guy accounted for 50 touchdowns last year. And that's a tough blow for Wake Forest, obviously, if he's out any period of time. And then at Alabama, even they have an injury to deal with. JoJo Earl, going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, fractured foot. I mean, good-looking wide receiver. Alabama, during that time frame, the question's going to be, if he's out 6 to 8 weeks, is he available for the Arkansas game on October 1st or Texas A&M on October 8th? Because they already have lost Jameson Williams to the draft, John Mechie to the draft, and, of course, Slade Bolden. Now, Tyler Harrell from Louisville transferred in. They're going to open the season with Utah State, by the way. So Utah State opens with UConn, then they get Alabama. With all due respect to Jim Mora, UConn is not going to be enough of a prep to get ready for Alabama. Thought I'd mention that. But that's how close we are now with all this. And that's terrific. I can't wait for it to start. Can't wait. You go through training camp, and one thing that happens in training camp is you see everybody every day, every day, every day, every day. Camp is great. It's a great learning process for Jack and myself to see it. Because it's, okay, how do the freshmen integrate? What's now the overall athleticism of the team? How does the depth chart play out? And even the guys that don't make the travel depth chart and are on the, quote, so-called scout team, the non-travel group, there are guys down there that are going to be contributors to Penn State down the road. And so you get a good feel about who could be a contributor down the road and who might be able to do it earlier than others. So you do get a chance to, even guys that aren't going to play this season, you still get a really good read on who has a chance to make a move and be a part of the mix down the road. That's the fun of camp. But there's nothing like games. Now, I was talking to somebody about this earlier today. There's so many issues that we talk about. And for example, it's a nice story about Bill Russell's number 6 being retired for all 30 teams in the NBA. That's great. But, and I've talked about this before, but there's no change in my thought process about it. And that is, how many of you are dulled now by the words breaking news? Like, you're dulled by it. Used to be breaking news, and you perk up like, what? What happened? Okay. Now, we've seen so much in our lifetimes that a lot of this is, oh, geez, wow, okay. All right. Now, USC and UCLA was a, wow, that's a surprise. Wow. But for the most part, Tom Brady retires. All right, well, he's 40. He's 44. All right. Tom Brady's coming back. Eh, I'm not surprised. Serena Williams retires. Breaking news. Eh, well, you know, Father Time's undefeated. Yeah. I mean, you're not shocked or stunned by anything. And ESPN overuses breaking news more than anybody. I mean, when it comes to breaking news, like, oh, it's like, oh, for goodness, that's breaking news, really? I mean, for example, I'll give you an example. Let's take one that's completely out of the realm, so it can't happen. The trade deadline has come and gone in Major League Baseball. So what happens if we get a story, boom, right now? And again, the trade deadline has come and gone, so it can't happen. All right. Yankees trade Aaron Judge, boom. I mean, how many of you are like, whoa, that's a surprise? And you sit there and go, nobody's going to sit there and go, oh, my God. Everybody's going to go, well, you know, guys move around a lot these days. Wow. Except for the fan base that gets him, like, whoa, or the fan base that loses him. Most of the other fan bases are like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. Wow, I wonder why they did that. Instead of, oh, my God, I can't believe it. You know, and that would be breaking news. Now, it's not going to happen. By the way, the Phillies are losing 3-0 to the Marlins in the bottom of the eighth inning. Since June 1st, the Philadelphia Phillies, in their last 60 games, are 41-19. Since June 1st, the last 60 games, the Philadelphia Phillies are 41-19. That's unbelievable. That's unreal. And I think people know that, hey, they've been playing well, they've been playing well, wow. Maybe you didn't realize they were playing that well. Isn't that remarkable? I mean, look, they dug themselves a hole, I got it. But I mean, but they're in the playoff picture. They're 14 games over 500 right now. They've won 9 of their last 10. They've won 7 in a row. They're 41-19. Again, all you have to do is get yourself into the, quote, tournament. Because the team that draws them is going to be nervous. And imagine what happens when they get Harper back. Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Brendan Quinn, The Athletic, next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, the best. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a great service department. So let's talk about that for a moment. We all know SMC stands for Sunbury Motor Company. Selling more cars. Satisfying more customers. With that comes the need for many great behind-the-scenes employees. While they have many awesome technicians already there to serve you, they actually need more. Because when you have a great business like they do, with a 107-year-old dealership, You have a great reputation and people want to go to you. So they're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body, frame and alignment, and towing departments. So whether you're an experienced technician, entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, the guy in the corner office, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. All right. We're going to talk now about one of the great controversies going on right now, and that is the PGA Tour and LIV Golf, and a guy that's following it, that is our good friend from The Athletic, Brendan Quinn. Brendan, great to have you with us. How you doing?
Oh, never better. You know, just out here getting a law degree that I never really signed up for.
Is this, when you got the PGA Tour assignment from The Athletic, did you ever dream that this would be something you'd have to cover?
Man, I thought it was going to be, you know, summer trips to Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
Going down to Augusta. Nice locations. Week-long stays. Marriott points coming out of my ears.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what it was supposed to be. And here I am talking to antitrust lawyers and experts on the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund. And, Not quite what I had in mind embarking on sports writing out of with an English degree from St. Joe's.
Exactly.
I didn't sign up to be intelligent, Steve.
That makes you perfect for the business because I didn't either, and you know it.
That's right.
So Taylor Gooch, Matt Jones, Hudson Swafford. Okay, they go through this, and. A district judge has to step in. Do you see any path forward where these two tours, if you can call LIV a tour, can coexist?
Well, I mean, now there's a couple things going on here, right? I mean, the judge not agreeing with those players' injunction. You know, the ruling that was handed down certainly read, you know, if you wanted to extrapolate it out and say, what does this mean for the larger case at hand, which is, you know, Mickelson et al. Versus the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
It didn't seem good for LIV. So in that scenario, you know, the PGA Tour might say, well, why should we coexist? Let's have this thing go all the way through the courts and see what it is, see what happens. Until the tour's hand is totally and utterly forced, there will be no interest in coexistence. You know, those players, a world where LIV players are able to double dip and cherry pick the events on the PGA Tour and say, I'm going to play 14 LIV events for this pile of money, and then I'm going to pop up and I'm going to play Bay Hill and the Memorial and this and that, and hey, maybe even rack up enough FedEx points and get into the playoffs and get some of that money too. Right. That ain't happening. I mean, the players who are going to ride and die with the PGA Tour, you know, Davis Love has come out and said they would sooner boycott than allow that to happen. Now, that, according to multiple attorneys that I talked to, would potentially open up all kinds of different doors if there were a boycott of that nature, where one, it would be potential evidence toward the tour being a monopoly and kind of play into LIV's case, and two, it could be a separate antitrust violation in and of itself.
All right.
Did you get all that?
I got all of that. No, I actually did, as a matter of fact.
I'm not sure I did.
For example, LIV has been to Portland and to Bedminster. Did you get to see either one of them?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I probably would have gone to Bedminster, but that week's PGA Tour event was actually at Detroit Golf Club, which is approximately 6 minutes from my house.
So
I went to that.
So again, you did the common sense thing. Which I got. But Detroit was interesting. I think Tony Finau won it, if I recall.
That's right.
And he's a fine young talent. But it wasn't exactly a heavyweight field. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did you get a chance to talk to fans about how they feel about it?
You know, I feel like those events are always going to kind of be that way. You know, comparing a random tour stop with the sixth weakest field of the PGA Tour season, which is fairly common,
sure,
you know, isn't really a barometer for the overall viability of the tour as a as an opponent of LIV. You know, they went and tried to secure players in every way they could, and they ended up with Finau and Will Zalatoris and Patrick Cantlay and Max Homa and a few others. And, like, that's what you're going to get in Detroit, right? I mean, there's a 46 events on a PGA Tour schedule. You're not not every guy's showing up. So, yeah, I mean, was there always going to be kind of curiosity about what's going on the other side of the fence at LIV? Yeah. But at the end of the day, not only is the tour, you know, needing to put out a product pretty much every week, but also there are 175 card-carrying members who need starts, and they got to play somewhere.
Yeah. The PGA has control over the Players' Championship and the Ryder Cup, but the other four majors, they don't.
You mean the President's Cup? The PGA of America
I'm sorry.
Controls.
Yeah, the President's Cup. Yeah. I meant. Yeah. I meant the President's Cup. The four majors, though, they don't.
Yeah.
What's your gauge from the people that run the majors as to what they're thinking about how they need to handle it?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you just based on a number of conversations, if you see some of these tournaments change their qualifications. Now, whether that's going to be to include or exclude is kind of the big determination here. And the wild card in all of this is the official World Golf Rankings, which is judged by a kind of conglomerate of representatives from the tour, from the USGA, from the RNA, et cetera, et cetera. You know, when they make a ruling on if OWGR points will be allotted to LIV events, if they rule against LIV in that, first of all, that's going to be a separate court trial. That also will go to court. And those players' world rankings will plummet. And as they do, you know, unless you have a special exemption, such as being a defending champion at an event, you're not getting in. So these players, I feel like if part of that boycott idea that would ever possibly play out would be, you know, if world ranking points were not being given to LIV events and exceptions were made at majors to still allow those players in,
right,
even though they're not in good standing points wise, that would be all hell would break loose. I think players would be furious. They already are furious. But that would be a kind of just massive scenario that could play itself out.
The PGA Tour is in an interesting spot because Tiger Woods is 46 and very wounded right now.
Yeah.
So where do you see the PGA Tour? Because even post-Tiger or Tiger sorting being there, they were going to be in a transition period anyway.
Yeah.
So where are they in the transition period based on Tiger and what's happening now?
Yeah, they have right now, you know, they have a decent stable of the stars in the world are still on tour. So your Jon Rahms, your Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, et cetera.
Right.
However, you know, the way this thing is trending and with the expectations that many of the best Australian players are about to sign with LIV, many of the best Japanese players could technically or potentially sign with LIV, and then maybe, you know, lean further and try to get some of the young European stars. There is a risk of this playing out where the PGA Tour kind of becomes more of an American tour.
Right.
And LIV has more of a global feel to it. And, you know, they, with their team concept, if they want to lean into, you know, nationalistic-based teams, you know, that is seen by many as a path toward profitability for LIV. That, you know, even without a TV deal domestically in the U.S., if you can capture massive global markets, you know, well, that does seem like a half-decent investment.
Yeah. All right, money aside, and money, of course, is huge.
Yeah.
Okay, it's huge. I mean, look, you know, a lot of these guys, many of them are older players, and they're getting a guarantee that is beyond what probably any of them could dream. What is the actual beef between the players that have left beyond the money and the actual PGA that's in the tour itself?
So most players that I've spoken to have really no issue with the guys who, if you want to go to live, go to live. If you want that money, go get that money. It's fine. I haven't heard anyone that's just like, that's morally against it, right? For all the talk about Saudi Arabia and its human rights record and et cetera, you know, you don't hear that among players. They don't seem to really mind anyone who wants to go. Their issue is that it is the idea of wanting to double dip and also participate in PGA Tour events. And that's, you know, these guys have pensions, these guys have health care, these guys, they built the tour. You know, people need to think about the PGA Tour the same way you think about the NCAA, where, like, the NCAA is the schools.
Yes.
Okay, so, like, a guy like Mark Emmert is a figurehead and et cetera, but it's the schools. They are the NCAA.
Right.
In that same vein, the PGA Tour is the players. You know, Jay Monahan's catching all kinds of heat for his handling of this, and mm-hmm. some of it is certainly deserved. Yeah. However, you know, he answers to the players. He works for the players. He works for a board that is voted on by the players. So, you know, when you sue the PGA Tour, you're suing the actual players. And that's what those live guys are doing. They're suing guys who are their friends, who they have been on Ryder Cup teams with and President's Cup teams with, have traveled with, have stayed with, you know. That's the beef, that these guys say, no, you don't get to get that money and then come over here and also mess up our business. Because not only are they suing the tour, but now there's a federal investigation into how the tour does business that is being prompted by Greg Norman and Liv saying that this is a monopoly. They participate in antitrust or non-competitive antitrust behavior. So, you know, now you're dragging the entire business model of the PGA Tour into the courts.
Yeah.
That is where the beef is.
Every sport with its history has its hallowed ground.
Yeah.
You played Augusta. And by the way, I don't care if it's your second shot or not. You birdie 12. All right. And you birdie 12. Look, that's a dream. You birdie 12. What was it like to be at St. Andrews?
I wasn't at St. Andrews.
Oh, you're killing me. No.
We have a very capable army of writers.
They need to send you. You're capable.
I totally agree. I totally agree. I say you write to all your representatives.
Come on. We got to get you there.
I agree.
Because I am going to try and run into you at Oak Hill next year. So
I will be there for that. That is for sure.
Because my son lives 5 miles from the course, so we're going to take advantage of this, Brendan.
Outstanding.
We got to get you to St. Andrews? Oh, man. All right. Then what was it like to actually go through the gates of the country club?
Well, that was pretty good. I mean, you know, it was funny. I played the country club a couple, like a month or so before the Open.
Right.
And I was like, man, it's just a small footprint. Like, are they really going to be able to do an Open here? Is it going to be difficult enough without being overly tricked out? You know, a place like Marion, the only way to really play an Open there is to just make the greens basically borderline impossible. And I wondered if that was going to have to be the same case at the country club, which was playing, I think, like 7,300 yards.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. I mean, it was a perfect venue for a U.S. Open. It was a fantastic week. Boston's such a great town. And the course, you know, any week where you have a story in both the course and the tournament and a winner, that is, you know, warrants – you know, a great story. That's ideal for a major, and that's what we got at that U.S. Open. It was fantastic. The course blew me away.
I remember at Marion, I think it was the fourth hole, and they stretched it. It cleared 600. They stretched it all the way back to the fence, so they're hitting beyond the grandstand. Because I covered that one. I was like, okay, how are they going to do this? I mean, they used every inch of that property to do
it. Oh, yeah. I mean, they damn near busted out of the Marion town gates in Wynwood.
I know.
Like you're like, put a tea box down at the Marion train station.
Oh,
that's a hyper-specific reference for anyone.
Yes, it is.
Very familiar with that area.
It is. Because Girardi and I went to the practice round, right? So you can imagine how much fun that was. Watching people heckle Sergio. It was all in good fun. Great. I have to ask you, somebody that obviously has covered so much Big Ten in the course of your lifetime, the reports are coming out as to what the new Big Ten TV deal are going to look like, and it may not now include ESPN. What's your thought on that?
far more endearing traditions have been killed in college sports, and we're talking about USC and UCLA playing in the Big Ten and not in the Pac, what should be the Pac-10, but is now the Pac-12.
Right.
I'm numb to it all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think everybody is getting that way.
Yeah, these seismic things that you say, oh my goodness, can you believe that? I will believe anything. I don't want to say I don't care, but it's just like, I don't know. I'm just numb. It just kind of just rolls right off the shoulders at
this point. Yeah, you and I are the same way about that because, for example, I pointed out to people that a conference can kill a rivalry. Oklahoma, Nebraska, when they put them in separate divisions, rotated off each other's schedules and played in October. So, I mean, even a conference can do it. So it's, after a while, you're like, okay, that's what they want to do? Point me toward the field. I'll talk.
I don't think anything is out of bounds anymore. Yeah. I remember talking recently on my podcast with Nick Baumgartner about what would be further, doomsday scenarios if the Big Ten hadn't picked up USC and UCLA, and it was, what if Ohio State and Clemson decide to go to the SEC? And, someone commented like, Ohio State would never do that. They would never break up the Michigan rivalry. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, why is anything off limits at this point? Like, split up Duke and North Carolina?
Yeah. Hey.
I don't think it's impossible.
Hey, it's every man for himself.
Yes.
Right? In other words, if I'm not moving, I'm left behind. Always great, my friend. I appreciate you very much. Look forward to talking to you soon. I will give Girardi your best.
Nothing but it.
Nothing but.
More than a pleasure, my man.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it. Brendan Quinn, The Athletic. Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. That's the music that played as the suit went to the first tee yesterday. Other darker tunes were played as he took out the shutter to hit a shot. Again, Jack Ham and I had never heard of that club until now. He claims it's a legitimate club. It's not even a legitimate club at a municipal golf course. Next half hour, Mark Wogerich will join us on the show. FanNation and SI.com. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors here, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.